The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Final game of a wild week three in the NFL. Wow, what a stop by the Eagles defense.
The rolling on the field stands.
And there won't be any need to review this one. Hurts the throw. Picked off. Trayvon Diggs pick six.
Fourth and two here. That was Dak Prescott doing his thing.
Just thankful for everything that I've been through, just to be back out here doing what I love at the greatest place to play football.
It really was fun to see Dak back home after being injured. That's the first time he's back in Cowboys Stadium. We welcome you to NFL Live. You know, I've got a guess here that somebody's a little happy about the Cowboys when it might be Marcus Spears.
What is this move right here?
Oh, man, number
14. It was folds all over the place, man. It's not bad. Let's go.
Dan Orlovsky, Ryan
Let's go.
Clark
Fix
here.
Your
How
face.
How are we going to deal with this
question.
Guy?
I have a question.
Fix your face.
Can we
be 21 about it?
Can we cover the NFL and cheer for a team?
Absolutely.
Not supposed to be, but
if it's against the rules, I'm out of here.
Uh-oh, well, the doors are there. All right, we got a lot coming your way. We're going to tell you a little bit later what's changed making the Raiders a contender. We'll get back to that, but we begin with last night, and for that, it's all about Dak Prescott. As we said, playing his first game at home since a leg injury, taking on the Eagles, the fans were welcoming him back. First quarter, Cowboys opening drive. Prescott deep for CeeDee Lamb, Dan.
Ooh, a little play action. You got the safety to pay his eyes and mind to the wrong spot, and CeeDee Lamb over the top of the post. I love the drive on that throw.
We saw Zeke get going a little bit, Marcus.
Yeah, north and south.
Okay.
Kellen Moore was going to make it a point.
Who did
Zeke downfield? And we saw the physical running attack from the Cowboys.
Later in the first, the game is tied at 7. Prescott finding Dalton Schultz, a 19-yard score. Dallas taking the 14-7 lead, and that was two touchdowns for him. At third quarter, Eagles opening drive right there. Jalen Hurts pass intended for Devontae Smith. Mina, you love Devontae Smith, but that really didn't work out.
He slipped, but it was a bad throw. It still would have been. It's not a good throw, but
no,
he did.
No, what happened? He threw it to the Diggs that catches the most footballs
Uh-oh.
In the league.
Wow. We got more on that coming later. Fourth quarter, Cowboys up 27-14. Fourth and goal right there. Look at that throw from Prescott.
Cedric Wilson making plays, man.
Yes,
I love
is.
The creativity by Dak, buddy. The patience.
Here's Dak
ball.
After the game, guys.
We saw the anthem, a tear came down your cheek a little bit. Maybe, I don't know if it was your tear or sweat, but.
I think that was sweat.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't remember crying, but definitely just appreciation and gratitude. I mean, just thankful for just the opportunity to be back out there doing what I love and doing it here in AT&T in front of the fans with my teammates with an atmosphere like this, first home game. It was special. It was definitely special. And as I said, usually the national anthem or pregame is the moments that I take in, and that was definitely one of them. But, just thankful for everything that I've been through and got me back to this point.
Color us here, fans of the Seafoam Green. Yesterday was Dak's first home game in 351 days. It was quite the homecoming. He became the second Cowboys quarterback to complete 80% of his passes in back-to-back games, joining Troy Aikman in 1993. For the season, he has a 77.5 completion percentage. That's good for the second highest by a player through three games in the Super Bowl era. Let's go. Oh, it was also his 10th career game, throwing for 3 touchdowns and 0 picks. Dan, is this Cowboys offense better than you actually thought it would be 3 weeks through?
Yeah, first of all, the jacket is mint chocolate chip ice cream. They are. Two things.
Dan would like mint
chocolate chip. Yes, it is. Two things. I think the Cowboys' offensive talent is the best they've had since Troy Aikman was their quarterback. Mm. And Kellen Moore is the best play caller they've had since North Turner was their play caller. You know, as a play caller, your goal is to figure out what the defense is going to do, then devise a plan, and then put it in place to attack. Oh. Kellen Moore is doing that. Yeah. He's always putting these guys in position to play well to their strengths. Now, I expected a lot out of this offense. I did not expect the violence and physicality that we're seeing by everybody, not just the run game, but by everybody. Yeah. But that's the best Zeke has looked for me when it comes to that violence and physicality in 3 years.
Well, it's good to say a lot of good things about Kellen Moore, but you need talent
to execute these things. And right now, it's getting to be like pick your poison when you're playing the Dallas Cowboys. I spend a lot of time in Arizona. I live in Louisiana, and I don't like snakes. Right?
If I'm
out watching the Arizona Sun Devils play, Arizona State Sun Devils play, and I get bit by a rattlesnake, I'm going to be ticked off.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
If I'm at the crib and I'm out in the swamp fishing, which I will never be, that's going to be Swagoo.
Yeah.
And he get bit by a water moccasin, I'm going to be ticked off for Swagoo.
No doubt.
And that's what it's like when you play the Dallas Cowboys. We watched the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Yeah. They said, you're going to have to throw the football. We're going to stop the run. That goes for four Bills. Right? And then you see them play last night against the Philadelphia Eagles. You want to see us run the football? Right. We'll go 5.5 for Tony Pollard. Yeah. We'll go 5.6 for Ezekiel Elliott. This team is talented in so many ways, and they can beat you utilizing whatever they need to in order to win the game. And that's the way Kellen Moore is calling, and that's making this team difficult
like
to stop.
Put an album together. Go, Mina. Go ahead.
You know, I'm going to say nice things about your Cowboys too right now, because they might be my favorite offense in the NFL right now. And for me, it all comes back to four. Dan, I text you, I feel like, after every touchdown pretty much saying, do you see that play design?
Yeah.
Because there's so many cool plays, and Kellen Moore is doing such a fabulous job, as you said, recognizing, okay, this is what we're going to get on defense. Yep. Here's what we're going to do on offense. We're going to play to our strengths against their weaknesses. But then you watch those highlights, and as cool as a lot of the plays are and all the great things they're doing with the tight ends and the run game, you watch that touchdown to Cedric Wilson, number one. And, they got the skill players, I think three of them bunched left. Dak looks left. He's got Zeke in the flat covered. Blake Jarwin, quick hitch, covered. So he rolls right. And honestly, I think he might be better at throwing on the move than any quarterback in the NFL right now, just how smooth it looks. Looks, finds Wilson, credit to him, gets open for his quarterback. That's playmaking.
Yeah.
That's
not
a sure. There's nothing scheme about that. That is just a playmaker. But
isn't that a different version of him then, Dak?
I would say what's perfect about it and what is different, it's the combination of the play calling and then the playmaking.
Hey, guys.
That's so rare.
Here's what y'all overlooking. These dudes play offense like rich people. Right? Dak Prescott is playing offense like a rich person.
Yep.
Because when you're rich, you know what? You don't care about turning around and handing the football off, because that's the right play. Don't care who you're throwing the football to, because that's the right play. And when you're really rich, only one thing now matters in football: winning championships. They're playing championship-level offense.
Did he get paid?
All right, so we are going to turn to the defense, but I got to give you a second to talk about this Cowboys offense. As you've just marinated.
He's been swinging in his chair like this, y'all.
No,
listen, it was
that face.
It was beautiful. All y'all talked about, but y'all know me. Y'all know I'm old school. When I saw them double teams and them 6-7 yard, 10-yard, 12-yard runs, Zeke Elliott going north and south, Tony Pollard actually running in between the tackles and gaining the edges, and that offensive line being able to look. Fletcher Cox and Hargrave are two of the dominant defensive tackles you're going to find.
Absolutely.
And they literally ran it down Philly's throat. I think that was the most impressive thing.
What was the word you used?
From an offense, bludgeoning.
Yeah.
Right? And listen, I've been on the bad side of that, bro. You start tapping out, you look into the sideline, coach, come get me. But it was beautiful for me to see the physicality, because you're going to have to lean on that at some point during the season.
And for the defense, way exceeding expectations so far. How have they done that?
Freedom of knowledge. You can play free when you know what you're doing. I've been saying this last year in Mike Nolan's defense. They did not know the concept. They did not have a clue about fits, where to be, or what to do. Now, Dan Quinn, they know what they're doing. They're lining up. Had a few busts in the game, which defenses have, but they're able to play fast. And that's what jumped off the screen to me.
You know what's shocking to me is we talked all the offseason. Dan Quinn's coming over with this cover three and this and that. They're playing man 62% of the time.
Yeah, man.
They're playing man coverage 62% of the time, third most in the NFL, and they're doing it well.
All right, guys, the Cowboys actually finished the regular season with the Eagles. In fact, they actually finished with the Eagles and the Cardinals, so that's the last 2 weeks. I don't know if we want to call that the double bird
games.
I love my Cowboys.
Oh, got it in there.
Tougher.
Eli would be a fan of that one. All right.
Eli.
Let's get ESPN NFL insider Field Yates in here. Field, what's going on around the league right now? Let's start with Colts running back Marlon Mack.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Yeah, fun show so far, Laura. No surprise when the whole crew is together. But you mentioned Marlon Mack, who is now on the trade block. Marlon Mack was a healthy scratch this past week for the Colts, and that's in part because they have Jonathan Taylor and also Nyheim Hines as the two go-to backs out of that backfield. Mack was re-signed this offseason to a one-year deal worth up to $2 million, and he could see his talents taken elsewhere in a potential trade. Indy, of course, would look for some draft capital in return. The Baltimore Ravens got some good news on the wide receiver front, which they've been looking for a while now. Both Rashad Bateman and former third-round pick Miles Boykin will return to practice this week. They are both eligible to play as soon as Sunday based off of the NFL's new IR rules. Of course, Bateman was having a great start to training camp before he got hurt. Disappointing news for them at the time. Good news now going forward. And now to Tampa for a couple pieces of news. You guys may have heard there's a game on Sunday featuring the Patriots and the Bucks, and Tom Brady's returning, but so is Gronk. And ooh, Gronk has negative x-rays on his ribs. It got banged up on Sunday. That's a good thing here, as the Patriots and Bucks should feature both Brady and Gronk. It sounds like Gronk will be available come Sunday night. I wonder if he finds his way into the end zone. And a lot of big names in Tampa, but there's room potentially for one more, who, as cornerback Richard Sherman, on his way to Tampa, maybe actually there by now, and will work out for the team. Sherman, of course, has been out of football, dealt with some legal issues this summer. It's unclear how exactly those will resolve themselves if they do, but Sherman, a name that's been connected to Tampa for some time, perhaps a step closer to him landing with the Super Bowl champs, who, of course, have been all in on a repeat this season.
Yeah, really interesting, Field. He said that, according to Ed Werder, he'd be ready to play in maybe 1 to 2 weeks. More from Field coming your way a little bit later, and we got a whole lot more coming your way on NFL Live. What's going on with the Washington defense? The one scary front is off to a very slow start this season. Swagoo dialing up the tape to show you exactly how they can be better, starting with Chase Young. Plus, are the Steelers in trouble of falling to the bottom of the AFC North after a bad loss Sunday to the Bengals? Even the Cincinnati player is questioning their effort. RC will weigh in with an opinion that you might not expect. Speaking of opinions here, we need some on the suit color. I'm going seafoam. Foam.
I'm going 100%.
I'm going back to being rich. Oh. He used to wear sports coats and bow ties at first. Now he got 140.
That true looks that. Swaggy.
True that.
It helps, right?
And security.
Security.
Sunday NFL Countdown is hitting the road and taking you live to Gillette Stadium as Tom Brady returns to battle Bill Belichick.
Let's go!
Plus, an exclusive one-on-one interview with the greatest of all time.
Played there, I know it. I know what I'm facing. Those 20 incredible years that shaped me and taught me so much.
Just do your job.
It all kicks off Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern.
Live on ESPN.
Glad you're with us on NFL Live. I got to think this week is extremely interesting for Mac Jones as Tom Brady returned into New England. Mac's now the quarterback leading that Pats offense. And like most rookie quarterbacks this season, Mac Jones has struggled. He threw 3 interceptions on Sunday. Here's a little bit more about that. Mac's throws traveled on average 5 yards downfield in weeks 1 and 2. However, in week 3 against the Saints, that average shot up to 12.4, but without much success. Jones was 3 of 19 with a touchdown, 2 picks on throws at least 15 yards downfield on Sunday. That's tied for the second most deep incompletions by any QB in a game in the last 15 seasons. Dan, why has this Patriots offense struggled as much as they have up until this point in the season?
Well, the offensive line is just not playing well enough, first of all. Those incompletions from last week, I think, a little bit more tied to the reality of the game. They got down so big so quickly, they had to try to push the ball downfield a little bit more. They've got to go back to some of their man-beating concepts that have been a part of their organization for a long time. But I think specifically with Mac, 2 things. Number one, you got to realize that right now, the way defenses are playing the NFL, you got like 4 shots a game to create some big explosive chunk plays. And those really swing the momentum and the end result of the game. When they're there, you got to take them. And then he's got to transition his mind a little bit from don't hurt the team to find ways to help the team. And that's going to be taking your eyes, and instead of going short to deep, there's plays in those 3 or 4 plays a game. You got to believe that your eyes start deep and then bring them to short. And when you see it, trust it and let it go.
Is it more on Mac at this point or the scheme?
I think it's a little bit more on the scheme because they're seeing so much man coverage and they don't got the guys to just go whoop people in man coverage. That being said, Mac, there's misses there. The big play misses are there. And again, he needs to start thinking, I'm going to look deep and then bring my eyes short.
All right, Dan, I'm leaving you. We're going to the Steelers now. We get a little bit what more on this offense, who has left a lot to be desired this season. And only 3 weeks in, they've scored 10 points in their loss to the Bengals. But how about this? Bengals wide receiver Tyler Boyd added insult to injury to Pittsburgh after beating them. Listen.
Last plays of the game for them, they gave up. You could see it. They had three drops in a row, but they portrayed it to the whole nation on TV with what they were about and how they gave up.
Goodness. Strong words, RC, from Boyd. What do you make of it?
I hate it and I love it. I hate it because Tyler Boyd is a whippy old legend. And if you know anything about Pittsburgh football, that's the city championship. He's a Clarendon Bear. They had over 60-plus wins when I was there. My son wanted to be Tyler Boyd when he was in high school. And so for him to say this about a team he grew up watching, a team he grew up cheering for, a team he understands what type of legacy they have, it's embarrassing. For him to feel like the Pittsburgh Steelers quit, and they didn't quit, playing against a team with the legacy of championships. They quit against the Cincinnati Bengals. They quit against someone who was thought of as the bottom dwellers. Well, guess who's in the bottom now? The Pittsburgh Steelers. And other people are saying that you aren't even finishing games. That's an issue. And that's an issue you need to fix right now, or Coach Tomlin needs to ship some people out.
Oh, man. The Steelers, by the way, traveling to Green Bay to take on the Packers this Sunday and take on that Packers defense. All right, let's go to Mina. We get to the Seahawks here and everything you need to know about this Seahawks defense. They were torched by the Vikings, more specifically by Kirk Cousins. Seattle just could not get the stops they needed defensively as Cousins led the Vikings to their first win. And don't look now, but Cousins' stat line this season, 918 pass yards, 8 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. Mina, let's talk, though, about the Seahawks defense. How concerned should fans be with it?
Deeply concerned. And it's really hard to pin down one problem, but I think it involves both the personnel and the scheme. A lot of this does fall on the coaches because they're still coaching this defense like it's 2013 and they've got the Legion of Boom. Very little of the pre-snap disguise you're seeing around the league. Still entirely too much cover three when you don't have the horses to play it. In this Viking games in particular, you notice the cornerbacks playing way off the wide receivers, and I realize Justin Jefferson and Adam Thielen are scary, but they were playing so far off of them, they were basically ceding first downs to them. It's frustrating because they do still have a lot of talent on that side of the ball. Bobby Wagner's a Hall of Famer. Jamal Adams and Quandre Diggs, both playmakers, but they need to be better because they're letting the offense down.
Yeah, Seattle has allowed the most yards and first downs in the NFL this season. That's a crazy stat. Makes you make that face. Let's go to the Bucs defense. One of the more surprising letdowns so far this season. They only have 3 sacks on total in the season. That's good for last in the NFL. Bruce Arians wants to see a whole lot more out of this defense that he knows is capable of it.
Yeah, the sacks are probably the biggest thing that disturbs me. You know, because we can rush the passer. Now we're getting close. We're not finishing deals. Todd knows and Shaq knows it's time to get to the quarterback. And, you know, he got shut out in this game and people are very aware of him. But he needs to get to the quarterback, as do a bunch of other guys, and finish it when you get there. Just one sack's not good enough.
Arians is not afraid of challenging his players, but Marcus, why haven't the Bucs been able to get the pressure up front this season?
Success breeds expectations, and that's what BA has. And when we saw this team down the road in the playoffs last year, it was sacks, forced fumbles that changed games. And that's what he's asking for his team. He watched his team, his defense against the Los Angeles Rams and Matthew Stafford, be able to have time and throw the ball around the yard. Listen, you cannot afford in this day and age in this league for quarterbacks to have time and sit in spots. And unfortunately for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, their secondary is banged up, so B.A. is putting the onus on the guys up front where it should be. Shaq Barrett, JPP when he gets back, Vita Vea and Dominican Sue, all of those guys need to have that same type of energy they had going down the stretch last year. I expect them to get back on track, because when B.A. called people out, they seem to play better.
Better listen. Yeah, he knows that works. And this was a Bucs team that really did peak at the right time. Yeah. Of course, the second half of the season on their way to a Super Bowl. Let's get to this new one, NFL Live. This in from Field Yates' Twitter. And interesting to see how this panned out. Jamie Collins actually was released. So now that he's been released, he could sign with another team immediately, making the fully guaranteed little over $8 million total from Detroit this year. That's a $5 million bonus and $3.8 million in salary. Collins can now prioritize fit and familiarity when looking for a new home. The latest there from Field Yates on Jamie Collins. We got more coming your way on NFL Live. How about them Cowboys swagoo? The boys were rocking and rolling on Monday Night Football. They opened up division play. We'll tell you the secret to Dallas's success. That's next on NFL Live. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
I don't know what that is. That's new to me. I'm too old school.
That's the Tom Howell stuff.
You know, here, I'll show you, Pete. It's about creating torque.
This ought to be good.
Right? It's about creating. It goes left shoulder, open up the hip. Boom, boom, boom. These hips don't lie. I'm like Shakira. The hips don't lie, Paige. That's why I can throw it further than you. My hips are looser.
You know, Shakira's slightly better hip. Dan, can you do that? Have you ever tried that?
Oh, God.
Oh, goodness.
Oh, in the slacks. Oh, in the slacks.
Children are watching.
In the slacks.
I know. This show is supposed to be a PG-rated show.
He knocked my mic off.
You see that? It's about that? Because it's about
look
the torque.
Ready
it's
the,
is. It's the torque.
All right, we're all going to learn how to do that, and we'll show it to you as a group later. How about the Cowboys defense? The Cowboys had two interceptions Monday, bringing their takeaway total to an NFL best 8 on the season. They didn't record their 8th takeaway last season until week 11. How about that? They had no problem getting off the field last night, allowing just 3 first downs in the first half. As a result, they entered the third quarter with nearly 11-minute time of possession margin. The defensive star of the night, though, Trevon Diggs, Monday was his third straight game with a pick after he put the Eagles in the no-fly zone. On 37 matchups, he allowed just 2 receptions for 9 yards. Dan and RC, you got more on exactly what Diggs is doing that helps this Dallas defense.
Listen, last week we brought a play to you, and we got to watch defenders be made to look a little stupid. So I told Dan, we ain't doing this twice in a row. So this week, we're going to get to see a defensive player make a play.
All right, this is going to be that pick 6 from Trevon Diggs last night, who RC says he catches better than his brother, wide receiver Stephon Diggs from the Buffalo
Bills.
All
pros.
The back angle tells the whole story of this exact play and how it happens.
Listen, Marcus Spears told you guys earlier, the big swag said, the Dallas Cowboys now know what they're doing, but they also know what the offense is doing. Look at this tight split between Devontae Smith and the tackle. The first thing he's thinking is, what crossing routes can I get?
All right, so now as an offense, when I cut that split, I'm really trying to show the defense that I can take him on a shallow cross, which we see, or in some of those deep crosses that attack that cover 3 zone.
Right, they attack the cover 3 zone. Listen to the word cover 3. In the words of Swag, that means Trevon Diggs don't give a damn about those plays. So now what he's going to expect, he's either going to expect a spray out here by Devontae Smith or something up the field. Who he's going to watch is Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts will tell the tale. Now, also, can we highlight Trevon Diggs right here?
Yeah.
Now, Dan, you're super smart. Can you tell me where Trevon Diggs is standing?
His feet are right about as a corner, right around the 40-yard line, 39 and a half, 40-yard line.
Now, listen, secondary coach Joe Witt, who actually called the game in the preseason against the Houston Texans, says, if I give you a tip or a tendency and it's 80% and you don't play it, that's on you.
Now, you mentioned that he could pay attention to the spray out, and as an offense, you tell your quarterback, when you got these quick little out routes, that is something that is given, then you're not taking it from the defense.
Now, remember I said he's going to watch Jalen Hurts. It's about the 3-step, but it's shotgun. Dan, explain to the folks what the 3-step looks like in the shotgun.
Yeah, so 3-step in the shotgun really is going to be a catch and throw. Now, the big thing for Jalen Hurts is when you catch and throw, it's this rocker step, and you got to do a great job with your eyes of keeping your head downfield, but your eyes being able to see the peripheral, because I don't need to see Devontae Smith. The guy that I need to be able to see, if I'm Jalen Hurts right now, keeping my eyes downfield, is Trevon Diggs. Because I don't want Trevon Diggs. He's got vision on me, RC. Trevon Diggs has got vision on me, and Jalen Hurts has already looked. Jalen Hurts has taken his eyes and looking at Trevon Diggs as he's got his vision back to
me. Well, you know what? I'm excited he's looking at Trevon Diggs. This feels like when dude was staring at Puff Daddy on The Voice. Look where his feet are now. Let's spotlight Trevon Diggs. He's already breaking. He has not looked at Devontae Smith one time because Jalen Hurts is telling the tale. The ball's still in his hand. We're already in our break, and we're only 1.5 yards from where we started. Talking to people in Dallas, this is a drill that secondary coach Al Harris works every single day. He knows what he's getting, he can anticipate it, and he's ready to go.
Yeah, the thing that stood out to me is Jalen Hurts brought his eyes too quickly there. He's already making his throw. Trayvon Diggs is actually running the route and ready for the ball before Devontae Smith is ready for it. That's called break on the ball, and that's because quarterback-wise, we telegraphed that throw rather than holding him and taking that easy completion.
Listen, I already told y'all that Trayvon Diggs is a better wide receiver than Stephon Diggs. I can see the 30 for 30 for now. Now, it's going to say, what if I told you there were two brothers named Diggs that caught footballs every week?
Ooh, what if I told you that both you were going to end up in that 30 for 30 because you left Dan there by himself? All right, let's take a look at the rest of the NFC East, starting with Cowboys' opponent last night, the Eagles. Mina, what did you see from Jalen Hurts?
It wasn't a great performance, and I don't want to pin it all on Hurts because there were some confusing decisions, shall we say, when it came to the play calling, the complete abandonment of the run game so early on. But Hurts didn't help himself, both with his decision-making, as was illustrated there, some of the fundamentals throughout the game, from the first drive that was so promising on to the underthrown ball, not his best outing. He needs to get that ball earlier and stay in the pocket when it's still clean.
How about the New York Giants, Marcus? What's their biggest issue as they remain winless week three?
Listen, first of all, closing out games. Second of all, the offensive line staying consistent. Daniel Jones is an accident waiting to happen. We all know it. It was a fumble. He recovered. But it was Andrew Thomas gave up a sack. When you look at this football team and you think about what happened to them against the Washington football team and then again against the Atlanta Falcons, at the end of the game, they have to finish games and protect this quarterback because he's mistake prone.
Let's round out the NFC East. There's Washington with a lopsided loss to the Bills. Once again, the football team's defense didn't live up to the preseason hype, dropping a 1-2. Ron Rivera referred to the game as a measuring stick, acknowledging, though, that Washington isn't where they need to be. The Washington defense that ranked third in efficiency last season has all but disappeared. Look at this. In 2020, Washington allowed the fifth lowest QBR, held opponents to a third down conversion percentage of just 37%. But now, after 3 weeks, they're struggling to get to opposing quarterbacks, allowing the second highest QBR and third down conversion rate. Marcus, why hasn't this Washington defense lived up to the lofty expectations we all had for him to start the season? Had some of us here picking him to win the division.
Yeah, let's talk about some D-line play. I'm going to say two words, selfish and undisciplined is what the Washington football team defensive line is. And when I talk about being a basketball team, this is what I'm saying. You cover for the guy when he loses his guy. This is Chase Young. Chase Young is so sack hungry right now that he's losing rushes behind the quarterback. This is good interior pressure by Deron Payne. If Chase Young retraces, this is a sack on Josh Allen. Instead, Chase Young wants to get to Josh Allen so bad, the undisciplined comes in. He gives him a lane. Moss has time to release and get a freeway to the end zone. Now, this is one of the examples of being greedy. You look at Chase Young and Montez Sweat, two really good defensive linemen, but you look at this pressure up the center of the pocket, but look at my two defensive ends who are the stars on my defensive line. Looking at the back of Josh Allen's head, Josh Allen escapes up. He drops it off to Cole Beasley. This is undisciplined. This is selfish D-line play. These defensive ends for the Washington football team are the catalyst. They are the guys that you expect to get to the quarterback. And when you have that type of pressure up the center of the pocket, that's supposed to be a sack on a retrace for your defensive end. They got to get back the fundamentals and basics. Easy enough to do, but they got to start right now because this secondary is really hurting because they are undisciplined.
You know it's serious when the big man stands up. He's getting the round of applause.
That's my favorite tape of yours.
Yeah, RC and Dan are mad that they're not over here right now, but they don't get to be because we're over. All right, Marina, we're going to send you to your stat pad. What do we need to know about this Washington defense?
Okay, so I'm trying to wean y'all, the network, everyone off of, like, passing yards when we're evaluating defensive play because you got to count for garbage time and situation. I like to use expected points added per play, which basically accounts for down and distance. So it's really looking at, did the defense do their job on this one play? So then I took the rankings, and what I did was I said, all right, just show me the sub packages when there's five or more defensive backs on the field. Do you see where Washington ranks right now? Is that a neighborhood you want to be in with Detroit and Jacksonville? And they're worse. And
that's worse, people. That's not number one.
To me, that speaks to how bad it is that they're not getting pressure up front because, frankly, they don't have the depth in the secondary if they're not getting to the quarterback. Like you said, all these things tied together. Yeah. They don't have the personnel back there.
And it all adds up to the
I get a chance every Tuesday to work with RC, and RC knows how important this line is. And L Boogie, me and you've been working 6 years together. Every level, you need guys in the same communication. Yeah. That's defensive football. And right now, Washington football team defense is so disjointed, no one can make plays.
And on the back end as well, you constantly see miscommunication.
Miscommunication,
yeah,
absolutely.
It's so frustrating.
You also see on the sideline, Chase Young just dialing into that team and yelling at everybody, which is interesting.
He need to yell at his damn self.
Right. It may be a little bit of time for some self-reflection.
Sure.
All right, Washington, by the way, heads to Atlanta, taking on the Falcons on Sunday. We got more coming your way on NFL Live. Keep it locked right here. We're talking about OBJ and his return, and the Browns now poised to take over the AFC North. Why someone here will tell you why Cleveland, just one of four teams in the NFL, can beat you any way they want. That's next on NFL Live. We'll be right back.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
We're back on NFL Live. Odell Beckham Jr. made his season debut Sunday against the Bears. He hadn't played in an NFL game since October 25th of last year when he suffered a torn ACL. On Sunday, caught 5 receptions on 9 targets for 77 yards, 4 receiving first downs. So a good showing for him. RC, what did you make of Beckham's debut this season on Sunday?
Odell Beckham was allowed to eat, but he wasn't force-fed. Mm-hmm. And for so many times when you watch this offense play with Odell Beckham Jr., because they understand how much juice he has, he's force-fed. They got the football to him early, but they didn't continue trying to put him in matchups where he was the focal point of this offense. This offense figured out a way to play to Baker Mayfield's strengths last year, and Kevin Stefanski found a way to help them have success. With that success, if you now incorporate Odell Beckham Jr. and know when you need that play, when you need that type of juice, you have that type of player, this is the way this team will be best. You can run the football and from that get into play action pass.
Yeah, I think sometimes it's important for a quarterback to get on the receiver's page as well. You know, especially when he's coming back from injury, how does he feel? Certain routes that I got to listen to him. I got to sometimes let the receiver's eyes be my eyes. And we saw that first third down of the game, they put Odell in the slot and they're really going to say, okay, Odell, this is somewhat of an option route. You got to go in underneath man coverage. So he's got to realize, all right, I got to beat that initial defender that's head up on me. Now I love this out of Odell, stem down inside. They're really bracketing him. That safety's got vision on him. The hard sell inside forces that nickel defender to just sink inside. Now I've created some space for me to go in. Now push vertical again, and now drop your hips. Now Baker Mayfield's like, okay, Odell's dropping his hips. That means he wants the ball. He's going to come back outside, throw it right at his right shoulder. That's beautiful. That's Baker Mayfield letting Odell tell him when he's open. Now go route. I love the timing of this. 20 yards. If he's even, he's not leaving. He's squeezed to the sideline. Get your eyes back at about 22 yards, Odell, and get vision on the football. And that's the thing for me that was so nice about that play was Odell hurt the ACL last year against the Bengals on a go route. Mm-hmm. When Baker threw a certain ball and Odell expected a different kind of throw. And for them to go that quickly, first game back, go route, I'm squeezing the sideline. Baker, don't put that ball on the top. I got no chance to go catch it. Throw it with some touch on the back shoulder. And the thing that I loved is when you watched Odell didn't do this for that throw. He did this for that throw. Like, he was expecting the back shoulder as well.
I think it's important what both of you said, because when we were talking about this last year,
what's going on there? Fumble.
When OBJ was out and the whole talk was about, is it Baker is forcing the football to him? No, it's more knowledge. It's understanding what this offense is supposed to look like and understanding week by week. Certain guys may have 130, one guy may have two or three catches, right? And the team has to live in that era. When you look at the Cleveland Browns and you think about completeness, and I'm trying to identify these teams. Dallas, I've seen it. We've talked about them. Mm-hmm. I've seen it with Buffalo after week one against the Steelers where they got a little bit of the ground game going, got backs involved. And Cleveland, obviously, with what they have with Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb. But when you think about this football team from the standpoint of
– What do you mean with those teams, though? What are you trying to say?
The ability to play however you need to offensively.
The way we spoke about Dallas earlier.
And when you think – when we get to Cleveland, we talked about the talent. We knew it would take time for this maturation process to come about. But now when you look at this team with Odell Beckham Jr. back under a new situation, with Baker Mayfield understanding what Stefanski wants to do, that's what makes them more dangerous than they were last year.
I hope you don't need to write any more notes because you give away your I don't know what happened. Got all caught up there.
I like that, though. I like that point.
What are the Browns' defense as we continue to talk about how good the team is? We know about the 9 sacks. They were the headline Sunday, but something else stood out to you.
Yeah, just how technically sound they were playing the run. And look, I know it was Chicago, but this is the NFL. It's not Bama against James Madison or something, you know.
No, they run. Chicago runs well.
They've been running well, and you'd think it would have been dangerous with Justin Fields. But it felt like, to me, every time they ran zone read, Cleveland played it perfectly. Yes. And I wanted to shout out the rookie, Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, who I thought was the real superstar of this game in multiple ways, frankly. Every time they ran scrape exchange where he was coming around and Fields kept it, played it perfectly. In coverage, blitzing even, he plays with such a combination of intelligence and speed. And to me, he feels like the missing piece in this Browns defense in the middle of the field.
I kept thinking Darius Leonard.
Yeah, well, they've been trying to find the missing piece, and Joe Woods was brought there for this. But all offseason, all they did was try to turn the liability into an asset. And I think this was the first week we actually felt that way about this defense.
I think he's for Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes is at his absolute best when he's running towards the line of scrimmage.
Say this.
And I could be a playmaker, and he's athletic enough to
go sideline to sideline.
And you're disrespectful if you think a Cleveland Brown team that gets a fast running linebacker ain't getting the full Lamar Jackson.
Are you right?
Lost your mind.
You're right.
Okay. There's a few good quarterbacks, right?
Who could end up being there.
It was right on
spirit
both.
Fingers.
This was more right.
We got a lot more coming your way on NFL Live. The AFC West shaping up to be a fight to the end. Who will come out on top? The Chiefs are shockingly in last place after week 3. Someone here thinks the Raiders remind them of the Patriots from 10 years ago. We're diving into that wild, wild AFC West.
He was right too.
Next on NFL Live.
He was not right. Me with you.
He
was not right.
That
is not true.
Yes, it is.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Our week 4 Monday Night Football matchup has Derek Carr and the undefeated Las Vegas Raiders in L.A. taking on Justin Herbert and the Chargers. Our celebration of Hispanic Heritage Month continues at 8 Eastern on ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and the ESPN app. Monday Night Countdown from SoFi Stadium in L.A. kicks off coverage at 6 Eastern. And hey, that wild, wild AFC West has taken on new meaning this season. Vegas and Denver stand atop the AFC West rankings. Meanwhile, the last place Chiefs are sitting under 500 for the first time since 2015. You heard that right. But it's early in the season. Important to note, the Chargers and Chiefs have played the second and eighth toughest schedules respectively thus far. Meanwhile, the Broncos have had it the easiest. And some of that will adjust too as FBI adjusts. But here's how we got here. The Chiefs defense ranks second worst in efficiency this season. And doing the offense no favors. However, Patrick Mahomes has also had areas of struggle, completing just 36% of his passes when under duress. That's fourth lowest this season. The Chargers have had some close calls to get to their 2-1 record. Both of their wins this season came after trailing in the fourth quarter. And Denver is home to the third highest QBR this season. And Teddy Bridgewater, he's recorded an NFL best completion percentage over expectation of 11%. The Raiders, they've had their fair share of nail biters too, with 2 overtime wins already. A ton of credit goes to the defense, which ranks first in run stop win rate and 9th in pass rush win rate. So these teams, what's been the biggest change as we start with the Raiders here from this season and last season, Mina? What's gotten better for them?
the defense, right? I mean, we all agree, right? Like, right. It's weird kind of how much love I get. No, let me rephrase that. It's weird how surprised people are by the offense, because the offense was good last year. I don't think people just it not worked. Watching. I mean, it replaced Henry Ruggs with Nelson Agholor, who balled out. Derek Carr was pushing the ball last year down the field.
Beat the Chiefs.
That's not Agholor got his money.
Yeah, like John Gruden's been, he's been a good play caller for a long time now, but the defense was horrible. And now they look competent. Mm-hmm. And it's the question mark going forward, you know, especially I would say given how good the pass rush has been against the tackles that the offensive lines that they've played. Yeah. You know, Yannick Ngakoue and Max Crosby have both been excellent together. We'll see if that continues. But what strikes me is just the general competence at every level watching this defense. I think underrated signings like Casey Hayward coming in, veteran corner, and then all of a sudden Trayvon Mullen's playing a little better. Mm-hmm. Jonathan Abram's playing with a little bit more discipline. It's like a rising tide that lifts all boats. And when you watch them, suddenly you're like, okay, even if the defense isn't spectacular, and I don't think they're going to be spectacular, they're good enough for this team to
compete. Mina, I didn't hear anything you finished with after the rising tide lifts all boats.
You want to be that rising tide.
That was so cold.
Yeah,
it's Marcus. Actual.
You like this defense a lot.
Better than ours, bro.
It's a lot better than ours.
Okay, listen, this defensive line for me, and speaking of when we were talking earlier about how these teams have been preparing to beat certain teams within their division, that's what the Las Vegas Raiders did by going out and getting Yannick Ngakoue and Max Crosby. I don't think, Mina, that this pass rush is going to fall off. They do a tremendous job of playing off of each other. And the other thing that people have not identified that I'm going to talk about more is depth. They have depth on this defensive line. They can come in waves. Nassib is a starting defensive line on a lot of other teams. So when you look at them play and you think about the division that they're in and their ability to score points, it's going to come down to two-minute drills and end-of-game situations. Yep. Yep. And the fact that you have 3 to 4 guys that can win one-on-ones at any given time. We talked about it in the San Francisco Green Bay game yesterday, right? You have to have somebody in those situations that wins their one-on-one and can get the quarterback off the spot. That's what I've been most impressed about, is the fact that they identified what they needed to do in order to be in games late from a defensive standpoint, and they are showing up early and often.
So the defense has improved. Let's talk about that offense.
Not for the defense. We did a defensive touchscreen. Now we got to talk about the Raiders.
You're welcome.
Defense.
Come on, Dan. Here's your offensive time. Their offense runs through Darren Waller, but there's somebody else that's impressed you.
I think Henry Ruggs is the second most important person on the offense. Mm. I think Henry Ruggs is just as important to the Raiders as Tyreek Hill is to the Kansas City Chiefs. Watching last week's game, I don't know how many snaps they had offensively. They had hands on him, Miami, at the line of scrimmage twice. Mm. Two snaps. They're doing an incredible job of going, okay, this guy's absolute strength is speed. No one gets hands on him. So it's, imagine guys, you guys defensively know this. Henry Ruggs gets to full speed so quickly, and you're already still in the back. Right. Yeah. And so they're doing a great job. I think that they remind me a lot of New England from 10 years ago, because it's as great as Henry Ruggs is, Waller's the attention. Then it goes to Henry Ruggs. Then it goes to Renfro. And then it goes to Kenyon Drake. And then it goes to Zay Jones. So it's like all these different pieces. And we put San Francisco in the conversation, Green Bay, the Saints as like the greatest formation teams.
Yeah.
The Raiders are in that, and that's how they're helping Henry Ruggs go.
John Gruden's so good at manufacturing space for, you know, with the condensed formations. Yeah. And
absolutely. Their best condensed formation in the league.
He gets Ruggs out there.
I think for me, it's about resiliency, right? That's what's been impressive. When I look at Derek Carr, I do not think resilience, and I haven't throughout my career. This is just something that we've talked about. And you look at this team, Marcus mentioned the plays that's been made in overtime defensively, but they've also had to score points.
Absolutely.
And they've continued to come. They've continued to make the calls to put the football into Derek Carr's hand. Right. And I think that's huge. When your foundation, when the basic principle the Raiders were built on is just win, baby, that's what the team is doing, and I'm excited to see where this defense goes, but where Derek Carr can take him, because in the end, it's going to be about making
plays.
Listen,
I've been critical of Gruden, critical of Mike Mayock, but they did a phenomenal job identifying what they weren't.
Yep.
Once again, the Raiders on Monday Night Football against the Chargers. Time for one more thing before we go. For this one, Travis Kelce, an invite to tight end you to LeBron. Listen to this.
the invitation for LeBron to come to tight end you is open, man. It's there. I got him a seat right next to me if he wants to come. We'll show him a little bit what it takes, but I think LeBron would fit and match perfectly in a Kansas City Chief uniform playing the tight end position, man. That guy can move.
Like, why is he so big?
Oh, but you're seeing this face on Swagoo because we've asked Travis Kelce multiple times for your invite as a former tight end. Hey, Travis, so where's salty. This big man's invite?
I got you, homie. I'm going to see you, T. Whoa. Kelce. I'm going to see you, bro. I'm going to see you. I'm going to pop up at tight end you and
Swagoo's
this.
Swagoo's got the soft
hands. Hey, denied access. Swagoo come. He coming to cover.
I'm coming to
cover. The tight end you.
I'm telling you,
you might want to go play offensive tackle.
It's hard for me to do that because LeBron my guy. So. Invite LeBron first, Travis.
We'll see you tomorrow on NFL.
I'd invite LeBron first. You my dog.
Me too.